He could have kept that disappointment inside, but he shared it, which is so generous and so brave and so engaging. So I think that's what Blue Man or clown performance does. It takes human moments that oftentimes we hide and it shares them.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Dawn Culliver. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Dawn. Dawn has spoken as the face of Fortune 500 companies at professional conferences. Those companies include Cisco, Adobe, and Medtronic. Two, Dawn has performed before thousands as a Blue Man, think Blue Man Group, and a professional touring clown. Yeah, he's just a funny guy. Never can get serious with him. And three, Dawn was fired from the award-winning HGTV show House Hunters. And anyone who was fired from House Hunters is welcome here. Dawn, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks so much, George. It's great to be here. Yeah. Do they have House Hunters in Canada, right?
They do. Yes. Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen the Blue Man Group. I've seen them perform in Vegas and in Canada as well. And today you're not in blue.
I am not. Yes. I have foregone the grease paint for our talk today. Yes.
So Dawn, what is it that the average business now person, what can they learn from Blue Man Group? What can they learn from clown training? What can they learn from improv to help them in their everyday business presentations?
Yeah, George, thanks for the question. I, as a clown, I teach public speaking at Google. And I started to realize that my clown training, I was teaching a lot of clown stuff in these public speaking classes. And the crux of it is, in clown, you are relying on your human imperfection to connect with the audience. That is the mode of connection. That's how people relate to you, your struggle on the stage. And I saw these folks trying to speak like engineers, non-native speakers, trying to be so perfect. I must not make a mistake. And then they would get all twisted up. When I was realized, you know, if you just embrace that imperfection, actually the audience is going to get even more on your side as you're presenting. And there's some caveats to that that I can get into later, but that's the basic connection of how clown relates to public speaking. I think the days of rhetoric of like the orator with the flawless phrases, and that's important at times. For example, like the State of the Union, those are very careful turns of phrases. But I think generally for business folks delivering status reports or trying to get more headcount, dealing with budgets, that sort of thing, those turns of phrases will actually turn off your audience because it seems too perfect. It seems, I personally start to doubt. I'm like, can I trust this person? They seem too polished. So I think letting your humanity show through will help you get your intended message across a little better. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, Dawn, but I imagine it. There are some people that, let's say they're giving a financial report to the management team or to the board, and
and they hear you give them advice to let their humanity show through, the last thing they want to be is human when they're talking to that board. How can they show their humanity, embrace their flaws, yet still impress the board?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And there was actually a study done in 66 by a guy named Elliot Aronson. And I was so glad I found this study. And he defined what he called the pratfall effect. And it's a little complicated, so I'll walk you through it. So he did a study where he had two groups of presenters. One group of presenters was extremely highly prepared and competent. They were great presenters. The other group were not that prepared, and they weren't very competent presenters. He had both of these groups present, and both groups would have a mistake, like a scripted, they spilled their coffee during the presentation. And then he measured the likability, the audiences, how much the audience liked these speakers after the presentation. He found that with the competent, prepared speakers, the ones which spilled the coffee rated higher on likability than the competent speakers that were flawless, okay? So that tells you, hey, if you are prepared, you have a little bobble, it actually helps. However, here's the caveat. The unprepared speakers, the non-polished speakers who spilled the coffee, were rated lower than the unpolished speakers who did not spill the coffee. So basically what I'm saying is, if you're not prepared to give a great speech, a bobble or a mistake is not going to help you. It's going to harm you. But if you put in the proper amount of preparation and you are ready to go, you're ready to go with your financial presentation, you have all your ducks in a row, having a small human error is going to get the audience on your side more.
That is fascinating, Don, because what I'm hearing is that we want you to be good. We want you to be prepared. We want you to show up and ready to present, and we want you to be the best that you can. And if we see that you've put in that effort, then we forgive a flaw or a mistake. However, we will not forgive when you are not prepared.
Oh, well put. And I would take it even further. Forgive makes it sound like you're like, I'm going to ignore that. I've found that a small bobble actually gets the audience more on your side if you are properly prepared. It makes them, and that's what the clown, that's what I mean by the clown element. A basic structure of a clown act is the clown comes out ready to deliver something to the audience, very excited, full of hope. Of course, something goes wrong. The clown shares the the clown is vulnerable to the audience. Like, that did not go as I planned. No problem. I'm going to keep trying. And the audience is like, okay. And then the clown, of course, has another mistake, another failure, even more extravagant. And this continues on, this pattern continues on, the audience gets more and more on the side of the clown until usually in a clown bit, the clown fails into some sublime, unintended beauty. This is not presentation. This is where it diverts from what we're talking about. I'm just saying, if you are prepared enough, if you are properly prepared, a little bit of humanity will actually get the audience on your side.
And I think I heard earlier, so it might even, I wonder, would it help if you think you've got a perfect presentation, maybe you should build a flaw into it just to appear more human.
I don't know. I would use that with caution, but I would say, if you want to experiment with that, that leads to one of my pieces of advice. I cannot recommend enough to find yourself regular low-stakes practice situations. For example, Toastmasters. Toastmasters, what a great organization. I don't completely subscribe to all their curriculum, But the fact is, you get a chance to talk in front of a group every week with no pressure. How great is that? The worst thing, I think, is like I've got one big presentation every 3 months, and I just sweat and sweat, and I'm terrified, and then all the pressure is on that one. Another place, if you have a spiritual community, a lot of times you can speak there. There's service organizations like the Lions Club that often are looking for speakers. There's lots of opportunities to speak about basically whatever you want to talk about. So do you have any stories of hiccups in your presentations, George?
Well, it's funny you asked, Don. Yes, and this is not something that you can plan. I once spoke to a group. There was about 300 to 400, mostly women, in the room. It was a women's organization. And early in my presentation, a woman in near the front, she put up your hand, and I wasn't looking for questions, but I said, what do you have? And she said, did you know that your zipper is down?
Oh my God.
And I don't know how many shades of red I turned. I quickly turned around and closed it up. And then I slowly turned back to the audience and I had nothing to say. And you know, I got a thunderous applause.
That's the perfect example. Oh my gosh. They loved you at that moment. Oh my gosh.
And yeah, because I think, you know, I certainly had their attention, and that was totally unplanned. It wasn't something you'd want to do, and I was embarrassed. I was totally embarrassed, and I guess they thought it was cute, you know. It was funny, and I carried on. I had their attention, and for some reason, I sold a lot of books that day too.
And now, do you always walk on stage with your fly open? Is that the takeaway?
No. It was too painful, and I think word would get around if that was a regular part of my act.
Yes. You might get a different crowd. That brings me. I have a, because so many people talk about this. So many people want to know about it. I created an acronym for dealing with these kind of things. It's ATM. First, acknowledge the error. Don't ignore it. I know I've been in presentations where there's been a car alarm going off and that presenter will not acknowledge that car alarm. And I just feel like I can't think of anything but the car alarm until you acknowledge it. It doesn't have to be making a big deal about it, but just simply saying there's a car alarm going off. It's really annoying. Acknowledge. Second T is take responsibility. I know as an audience member, when I see someone take responsibility for something, even if it's not their problem, even if it's a tech problem, if they say, I'm sorry about that, they just take responsibility. I respect that person a lot more because it's not about blame in that moment. It's about getting the message and communicating the message. I respect people who take responsibility in those times. And then ATM, move forward, move on, let it go. Which it sounds like you did perfectly with the fly down story. Now, an advanced technique, which I talk about in the book, which we can talk about later, is ATC. So acknowledge, take responsibility, and then connect it to your message. If there's a way during your presentation about your book, I don't know what your presentation was, and you could do a callback later of like, you know, you want to stay open to your audience, just like my fly was open to you, or something like that, like kind of loop it back in. That's like ninja level, utilizing your imperfections.
And while you were saying that, the ATM, I think that's a useful acronym to remember, because things will go wrong. I recall once being in a presentation where the presenter was a vice president of a major IT company, and they clearly did not, in my opinion, in my observation, they clearly didn't get together with the AV person ahead of time. This VP simply walked up to the stage with their their laptop and expected to plug it in, and there wasn't the right connections there. And so the person was just introduced, and now we're all waiting. We're waiting. Finally, that person, the speaker, realized that we're waiting, and the person turned to us and said, oh, talk amongst yourselves. Ah, how terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's. I think that's a great example of not taking responsibility. I mean, I think just the basis of this podcast and your intended message, like when you are up there, the audience has given you their attention. You are responsible for that. And being aware of what they are engaging with, that's your responsibility. That's what you've prepared for. And I think the most important thing is to take care of their attention while you have it. That's so important. They've given it to you as a gift. And I think it's important not to get stressed out about that. That's another thing about Clown. A basic tenet of Clown is called le jeu, which is the joy of connection. It's called the game in French, but it's having an energy inside that you are so grateful and excited for this connection, that underpins everything. Even if it's a very serious discussion or you're delivering bad news, being grateful for this human connection, having that underpinning will allow you to kind of handle anything that comes along. Even resistance, you'll be able to hold that space for resistance. If the message is a challenging one, because you're grateful for the opportunity for that connection.
Now, as a clown, when you play a clown, Don, and you're performing, you're there to entertain, and the audience doesn't know your plan, your material. And we expect that you're going to do something silly or you're going to make a mistake, and because we want to laugh, we want to feel comfortable. When you teach people to speak, what are the most useful elements of the clown? And you talked about already that comfort, that connection. What else can they use from clowning? And is that a proper word, clowning?
Oh, for sure. Yes, yes. I use clown presence. It's a loaded word, man. People have pretty negative connotations with clown, and that's just, I knew it walking into talking about this stuff. But in terms of other things they can take away, I think a big part of clown training is what's called complicité. And it sounds like complicity, which sounds like something naughty, but what it means is getting on the same side as your audience as soon as you can. Meaning when you step out on stage to deliver your intended message, for example, and at first, like, you're on two opposing sides of a table. Like, I've got this information, I need to push it across the table to you, audience. What complicité does is you start to engage with the audience in a human way. You get to the same side of the table, so you are together looking at the message, trying to understand it together. That way, you can pivot. If the audience is like, wait, well, we have this different experience of that. If you are talking about budget, changing budgets, the audience is like, well, we have these other initiatives, which is going to compete with that. You can pivot your message because you're sitting on the same side of the table. You're not opposing. You're not pushing your message to them. You're creating the meaning together during that time. And again, this loops back to preparation. You need to know your content so well and be so confident that you are able to listen and pivot and adjust to what the audience has to say. That's what I mean by complicité. Now, that gets you together with your audience. In the book, I talk about 5 P's, and I wrote a book called Wink, and I don't want to get too far into it, but there are 5 elements of clown presence, but the highest P is play. And once you've done all the other ones: personal confidence, preparation, which we've talked a lot about, partnership, which is this complicité, imperfection, which we've talked ad nauseum about being comfortable with imperfection, you can start to play. And what I mean by play is you can kind of have a wink with your audience. So, George, if you're presenting and the audience knows we're presenting about, say, your book about better presentations or something like that. We all know that that's happening. You can start to wink at them and maybe do bad presentation techniques with a little glimmer in your eye because you both know what you're doing. But you can't do that right off the bat. You need to gain the connection, gain the complicité before you can start to play like that. And that's what I call, it's clin d'oeil, which is wink in French, but it's more than just a wink. It's a wink with a little glimmer in the eye, because what you're doing is you're calling upon their humanity. You're having fun. Like when a fun relative would play with you as a kid, and there's like they're not being serious, but you both know you're not being serious. Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to explain, but I know you are playing. You know I'm playing. We both know we can have fun in this situation. That's kind of the utmost level to really start playing with a shared experience. I do that all the time when I speak at trade shows.
And so how does the clown performer, presenter, establish that safe, connection where we can play and wink at each other?
Well, I think a big part is that vulnerability and authenticity of small moments of imperfection and acknowledging I'm human, but I have this really important thing to talk about. We share our humanity. I do have some information I really want to be of service with, and I want to bring it to you. But I'm also not this person on a ivory tower that's infallible. I do have information that you don't have that I want you to have. So I think there's two levels of communication. On one level, there's the message that you have that you want them to have. They don't have that information yet. On the other level, there's the humanity of both of you. You're both there. You're both human. You're both imperfect. So I think you can play both of those levels at the same time. We're getting a little bit esoteric. Sorry, George. But that's what I work towards in my classes of like, you know what you're talking about, your subject matter. That's one thing. You're also a human that we love. We love to see your humanity. That's another thing. Both these things can function at the same time.
You were a member of the Blue Man Group, and I remember the first time I saw them, I didn't know how to describe them later I was trying to describe them to some friends, and you know, what are they like? No, they're totally different from anything else. Now, one of the aspects of their performance is, other than the odd announcement, the whole presentation is nonverbal. What did you learn from that experience of what presenters, and what can presenters take away from that?
Good question. Well, in Blue Man, you work a lot on what's called the neutral mask. And if you look at those characters up there, sometimes in mid-show, one character will switch out with another performer, and you'll never even know it because they're so the same. All three have subtly different personalities, but one of those can switch out mid-show, and you would, as an audience member, not even know it because the performers have worked on what's called neutral mask, meaning any bit of idiosyncrasies in movement, if you have a small hunch, if you have a way you move your hand or your head, has been rehearsed out. So you are completely neutral. You are a blank slate, which the audience can put whatever they want onto. That being said, the things that happen in the show are so basic, there's so basic human challenges of like wanting something to go one way, it doesn't go that way. And then the blue man looks at the audience and shares their reaction to that. Everybody can react to that. And that's a perfect clown moment. You've heard of the double take or a take in comedy. So that's like, if something goes wrong, boom, the person looks at the audience. Like it's, and that is a sharing of their emotion in that moment. I had a friend of mine who was sitting outside of a convenience store once. And this little kid was in the convenience store. He just got a big soda. And this guy was in his car, like waiting for his wife or something. And the kid walks out and drops the soda, which is really sad. He looks down at the soda and then like looks up at my friend. And he was just like just sadness. And it was like the perfect human cloud moment, because he could have kept that disappointment inside, but he shared it, which is so generous and so brave and so engaging. So I think that's what Blue Man or clown performance does. It takes human moments that oftentimes we hide and it shares them. And from an audience, it's like, A, that's so brave, and B, love this person because they did that. And that's what I'm trying to communicate into public speaking.
And Don, I'm contemplating that thought of sharing those human moments, and I realize that it's critical to connect with people, because if you pretend you're perfect, one, we hate you, and two, there's doubt in there. He's probably got a flaw somewhere. There's got to be an Achilles heel. You know, what's his kryptonite? I got to find that kryptonite. And that's probably, if that's the only message that listeners get from today's program, I think that's a worthwhile. Like, be who you are. Be who you are. Be the best you can, but you have flaws. Don't pretend you don't. And when you make a mistake, maybe make that face. Oh, did you see what just went wrong?
Totally, totally. And it's so interesting doing public speaking courses after teaching clown. Oftentimes, and this is all the time with clown, the thing that someone is most ashamed of often is the most engaging thing about them. But it is hard to embrace that. Like, I fully understand. It's very hard to embrace that. And that's why clown training is, you need to be extremely careful, because it's an extremely tender place where people are revealing this. You need to be in a supportive environment with positive feedback to have people feel confident to reveal this vulnerable place to an audience. And that's why at the beginning of my classes, it's only positive feedback is allowed. Like, because a lot of times, especially some of these high powered executives, they're like, just give me the tough stuff. Give me the negative. But the fact is, having a few presentations with just positive feedback, a lot of times, public speaking challenges just kind of evaporate, like filler words, stuff like that. A lot of times with confidence, it just goes away. You don't need me dinging a bell every time you say, they will just go away with confidence. And two, the things that people are trying to hide, like I said, often are the most endearing and the most connecting things about them. But they need to hear that first. Just like in clown, a lot of times what's funny about you, you are completely off base what you think it is. Like, you think you're hilarious because you're really clever. And the fact is, I might be hilarious because I come out and I'm trying really hard. That's the funny thing. It's not my brilliant words. It's the fact that I'm trying so hard. And so I'm like, oh, I can put a pin in that. Now I can leverage that and utilize it, own it, own this imperfection and use it, which is super empowering.
Mm. Don, you have a resource for people to learn more about how to engage the audience. Where can they find that?
Yeah. There's an exercise I do in my classes, and I actually do them in clown class too, to kind of gauge your level of engagement with an audience. And I find it really useful. It's a great way of kind of realizing how connected am I to the audience? How much am I listening? Or am I just shifting into throwing out the information I've prepared without any concept of what's going on out there in the audience? And if folks want to do this, grab this exercise, you can go to doncolliver.com/engage. And it's a free download. Happy to send it out for you to practice.
And you can find that link to that free resource in the description below. Don, earlier you asked me about one of my embarrassing moments on stage when something went wrong. Now it's your turn.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want embarrassing moments, just start speaking at trade shows, because you'll get one every single day, especially on, they have pub crawl night. So we'll be working for 8 hours, presenting for a tech company, doing the pitch for groups of 20 people in the booth. And then, of course, at 5 p.m., they roll out the booze. And then you start getting hecklers, which is always fun. But I guess just in general, that's the most embarrassing moment. I'm trying to think of a specific.
Perhaps you've suppressed it. It was so embarrassing.
Perhaps. Or maybe I leaned into it so hard it became a massive success, and I just it drifted away. But that's a good one, George. I'm gonna have to think more about my most embarrassing stage moment.
Well, we'll keep that one for interview number two. That's when we'll have that. Don, what came first for you, presentation or clown?
Improv, actually.
Improv. Ah.
Yes, and if I could give three pieces of advice to folks, number one, seek out an intro to improv class. Oh my goodness, it's hard for me to overstate how much that's going to help you with your public speaking, because what I learned is, as much as I plan and write and wordsmith what I'm going to say, sometimes, probably over half the time, what I speak on impulse is actually better than what I wrote beforehand. And the only way you're going to learn that is to be in a safe environment where it's encouraged. And that's exactly what improv does. The second thing would be, as I said before, find low stakes opportunities for practice. And thirdly, build your self-emotional intelligence, your self-awareness. And I did that through a meditation practice. That can sound a little woo-woo to people, I get that. But basically what we're doing is building an ability to be aware of yourself if you're getting stressed, if you're starting to lose your breath, if you're starting to, in a presentation, questions are coming at you and you're starting to get flustered. The worst thing that can happen is you don't realize you're starting to get flustered and you start to answer sharply or something. With a little bit of self-awareness, emotional intelligence, which can be developed through a meditation practice, you can be like, oh, I'm starting, my diaphragm is getting tight. I'm breathing shallowly. My shoulders are raising. I should put a pause on this right now, because I'm not going to be answering with my full capabilities. It's called interoception. Is bodily self-awareness, being aware of if you're starting to lose your breath, if your shoulders are going up, if you're starting to sweat a little bit. It's easy to go through life and completely be unaware of these cues that your body's like, hey, you should probably calm down right now. I found that incredibly helpful.
That valuable advice, be aware of your own emotional state, because I've seen speakers, when they felt that they were attacked, they counterattacked. And that's the wrong response.
Exactly. Understandable, but not helpful in when you're in a presentation moment.
Mm. Don, before we wrap up, if you could sit down with a business leader who's preparing to speak to their, deliver an important presentation to their team this week, if you could give them one, two, or three valuable pieces of advice, what might that be to help them get ready for this presentation?
Well, first, you are enough. Number one, you are enough. I'm sure for a large presentation, for the pros I work with, rehearsal is not an issue. I don't have to encourage them that they really need to know their content. But the thing that I would like to caution them away from is, if I just rehearse 20 more times, I'll be enough. What I want to say is, you're already enough. You're great. Your message is one thing, your humanity is another thing, and your humanity is going to connect, period. So you don't need to be a better human, you're great. I guess one other suggestion for someone with a very large presentation coming up, and this is what I do before all of my presentations. I rehearse 5 to 7 times, front to back, without stopping. But 2 of those times, I do a very specific method. One time, I will go through my presentation and I'll do extremely big body movements, like crazy. I'll close the door, no one can see me. I'll pull the shades down so it's private. And I'll like wave my hands around, I'll jump on the couch, I'll crawl on the ground, depending upon what I'm talking about. Just as much as I can, I'll use my entire body. Of course, you'd never do this in the real presentation, but what it's going to leave a residual amount of appropriate movement, because you'll end up finding that you are acting crazy during the most important and emphatic parts of your presentation. It will just kind of sort out. You don't have to script it, it'll just happen. The second one is do the same thing, but with vocal variety. Again, close the door, pull the shades down, make sure nobody's watching, but really talk up and down and whisper and yell and really hit your points hard. And again, you won't speak like that during the presentation, but the residual will be your voice will have a lot more interesting vocal variety when you give that presentation that wasn't there before. A lot of folks, non-native speakers, struggle and ask, how can I help my vocal variety? This is a tip I often throw their way.
A practical, interesting advice. I've never heard that before, but I can see the wisdom in that. Thank you, Don. My guest today is Don Culliver, reminding you that when things go wrong, consult your ATM. That's acknowledge, take responsibility, and move forward.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.